I'm Chris Stuchko, co-host of the Ninth Grade Experience podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome into episode 147. It's going to be a great one. In this episode, we are talking about how you, as a leader of learning, can support others with their growth mindsets. Stick around. Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and this is where I help educators grow their impact as instructional leaders. Because my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can have a tremendous impact on your organization. I chat with inspiring guests who are truly making an impact as instructional leaders. Whether this is your first time listening or you've come back for more, I hope you've subscribed to this show on your preferred podcast app so you don't miss any of the great episodes, topics, or guests. Anyway, I'm so glad you've tuned in. Now let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome into episode 147. I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, so as you've probably heard me say if you've listened before, is that I did a lot of research in my doctoral dissertation around the idea of how leaders can inspire growth mindsets in their staff, in teachers, and really anyone who they follow, and really other colleagues as well. And that's why this conversation that I had in this episode with Dr. Eric Youngman, as we were both in person at the Teach Better conference, was a great one. It aligns with so much of what I do in my professional life and definitely what I do on this podcast and with the Leader of Learning brand. I can't wait for you to listen. Coming up after these messages is my interview with Dr. Eric Youngman.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, Leader of Learning. Another exciting guest and another exciting interview opportunity that I'm getting at the Teach Better 22 conference, where I'm getting to meet so many amazing educators who I've been connect with for a while. I feel like I know, but haven't actually met in person yet. Here's another one, Eric Youngman, who is an amazing educator and leader, and I'm so happy to have you on. So appreciate you giving me some time here. And if you could just introduce yourself a little bit more, a little bit better to the audience. Who are you? Where are you? What are you doing?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I am Eric Youngman. I am an assistant superintendent of teaching and learning in Libertyville, Illinois. I also have three daughters in 7th, 9th, and 11th grade, and I like to write and talk about leadership and growth mindset and grading. So I have a book, 12 Characteristics of Deliberate Homework, and another book about the magic of growth mindset. And so those have been nice to begin conversations and extend conversations with different educators and parents.
Well, speaking of beginning and extending conversations, we definitely have that both in common, where I like talking about growth mindset as well. As a matter of fact, it's a big focus of my doctoral dissertation. Let's start there. When it comes to growth mindset, you know, a lot of times we talk about clearly the difference between anyone, in this case, maybe educators or students who have that fixed mindset, and we want to tap into and expand their growth mindset, right? To allow them to feel like anything is possible, that even if they don't know something yet, they will eventually. But I also think that this time in education for educators
and students has still been pretty difficult. So how are we working with educators, students, anyone in the field of education on developing and improving that growth mindset?
I think the biggest focus is on how can we embrace and learn from mistakes and challenges and misunderstandings and setbacks. And if we can provide a culture in the classroom where we're allowing students to do that, we can provide scaffolded support. So then when they're working independently, they can do that. I think when you're talking about a growth mindset, you're talking about the different thought process about adaptability and change and effort and attitude. But I think equally when you're talking with students, as you kind of began the question, what happens if they don't have a growth mindset and they have a fixed mindset? So really understanding how those two interchange. And if we can be explicit about providing some opportunities where they do have to problem solve, and we can point out to them, I like how during this mistake, you adapted your language or adapted your perspective. Another word you mentioned was yet, and I love talking about the power of yet, because you can throw that word into anything where we're talking about a topic that you might know a little bit about, or you might want to extend your thinking. And even in the classroom, I don't understand that yet, but that implies you're willing to learn. It's still unfinished. So throwing that power of yet in there is important.
You know, yesterday I had a conversation with and created a podcast episode around someone who talked about the science of hope. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit, to be honest with you, because I said, man, that idea of someone having hope and that positive, like that optimistic outlook and approach seems a lot like growth mindset in so many ways. And again, times have been kind of tough in education for a little while now, a couple of years, I'll say, during the pandemic, especially. And I don't know about you, I have felt like there are teachers who, because of that, have, I don't want to say they've stopped trying to improve themselves, but resistance is real. You know, and the challenge of working with adult learners sometimes on breaking through that has been tough. Do you deal with that? And if so, like how do you deal with that?
It's been interesting. I like to focus on courage and confidence and optimism. And a lot of my interactions are trying to empower teachers to model and empower it to students. So the focus is really on the students. Because initially, sometimes on Twitter, especially during the pandemic, I would post something about growth mindset, and the educators were working so hard, that's not really what they wanted to think about. And so my spin right now and my focus is, how can you do that for the students? With the hope of, if you as an educator are modeling this language with your students, then you'll be using the language, and also you'll start to think that way in your professional development, in your real life, because we need to be realistic. My wife is a speech pathologist. We are challenged with a lot of things in education. All educators, if you're principals, assistant principals, custodians, everyone has to deal with a lot of change right now. And so we want to be supportive of them. And really, we need to create that culture first. And I think if we build the culture and it starts in the classroom and we're starting to talk that way, and we as administrators kind of model that to teachers, then I think they're going to be more open to that conversation. But if you're just asking them to do something and not modeling it, or you're not changing some of your supports, there may be some challenges with that. But I think it all starts with building that culture, building trust, building relationships, and providing an opportunity where, again, you allow and learn from mistakes. But even that thought of how can you empower and think of risks too, you know, with curriculum, you want to be teaching to the standards, and you want to be aligned with assessment expectations, but you still want to provide opportunities for risk and to be unique as well. So I think, again, back to those words of courage and confidence and optimism, I think we all want to instill that, but we have to support it and live it as well.
My mind was trying to already go to another question, but I had to stop when you brought up a word that I have found so interesting in the field of education over the past several years, and that word is risk. What is your take on that word, and how do you see it in education? And the reason I ask is because I've actually had conversations and, dare I say, debates with teachers, educators, about how much teachers feel like they face risks and how little sometimes it seems like they're willing to go out on a limb and take a risk when maybe at the end of the day, there's not all that much to actually lose if someone were to just do it.
I think, again, you have to have those relationships. You have to have that culture, because when you adopt a curriculum, you're expecting professional development and some common similarities and support. But if you direct certain opportunities where this is one way where we're going to be collaborative, there's going to be some consistency among the grade level, among the teachers and the schools, that's one way to look at it. But then if you also say, however, in this area, this is an opportunity for you to take a risk. We're looking for people to look at different ways where you can enhance engagement, different technology tools for students to be able to problem solve or investigate. And so I think it needs to be purposeful and deliberate. There's a time where we need to enhance consistency, and there's a time where we need to empower and ask for and appreciate and support, and being able to communicate to the superintendent, to the school board, to the families, these are some reasons for this, and this is a great educator who is doing it, and these are the benefits. But again, I think you need to have some parameters, but again, essentially build a culture that can support that as well.
Hey, Leader of Learning, we'll be right back with the episode in a minute, but I just wanted to break in here real quick and let you know how excited I am to finally launch the Leader of Learning Academy. The Leader of Learning Academy is going to provide online courses, starting with some courses on instructional and educational leadership, and then exploring some courses in instructional technology. But my first course is launched. It's live, it's ready to go, and probably the best part about it, it's free. The course is all about how to build trust as a leader. If you've been following me for a while, you know how important it is to me that anyone realize their leadership capacity and abilities, no matter what role they're in. So if that sounds like something that you'd enjoy, learning about how to build better relationships and how to make your organization more effective through building trust, then head to leaderoflearning.com/courses and check out the online academy and that free course on how to build trust as a leader. Now back to the interview.
And I'm glad you said that, because I've heard you use the word culture a lot. And I'm going to sort of break the third wall here for a second and talk right to my listeners, because I've now been at the Teach Better conference for 2 full days, and I've held several interviews here already on the podcast. And I feel like that's the theme that keeps coming up, no matter what anyone's role is. I've talked to district level leaders, school leaders, classroom teachers, and people who are still a little bit more boots on the ground, if you will. And the one constant, I think, that really keeps coming up, no matter whether it's that growth mindset piece, whether it's reforming some type of instructional, you know, situation like grading, which I want to talk to you about in a minute as well, whether it's improving aspects of the way that a school is run, it seems to me that it's pretty obvious that in all of these conversations I've had here and these interview episodes that I've put out from the conference, it all keeps coming back for that, to that culture piece. So I'm really glad that you said that. And I just wanted to take a moment here to like really give it the time that it deserves, because I keep hearing it. We keep coming back to it, and it's just so important. And what I really want teachers to understand, and I love the school leaders who listen to my podcast too. But I want teachers also to understand that they're such a big part of that, that, you know, I end every episode of the podcast saying that no matter who you are or where you are, you're a leader of learning too. And that means, I mean what I say, you know, teachers are leaders, and I just really want to inspire them to understand that they play a big role in whether it's classroom culture or school culture, but building that culture, teachers are such a big part of that. Having said that, let's go back to the grading piece, because I know you have some opinions about that, and you like talking about that. Again, another conversation I had here at the conference was about grading reform. And so when it comes to grading and reforming things in education, where do you stand, and where are you hoping in terms of the work that you do in your district and you know, being at conferences like this and being connected to so many educators, what are you trying to do there?
I mean, really the focus is on effective grading practices. And I've been on a journey where I wrote my dissertation about implementation and parent perception of standards-based report cards. And at our elementary schools, that is what we're using. But listening, as I wrote my dissertation, a lot of it was about Tom Gusky. Teach Better has been an amazing conference, awesome presenters. Listening to Tom Schimmer, who's doing a podcast next to us, David Schmidto, just amazing information and thoughts about grading. And my area that I focus on is that impact and crossover with growth mindset. So when we're providing feedback, how can it be during the learning process? Let's not penalize students with grades that will impact their overall behavior and thoughts and grade. If it happened before, how can we focus more on recent evidence? And so there's a lot of experts out there who have some great grading advice. But again, I focus on what is that impact of these grades? How does it impact student motivation? And again, how can we empower an opportunity where kids can learn from mistakes? So what feedback and when in the learning process are we having these discussions? And again, back to independence and growth mindset, how can we empower students to reflect and self-assess? Because we as educators must provide the criteria, and we need to teach how they can analyze and critique. But so powerful to have a student assessing their own work and even talking with peers about it, and the teacher being more of a facilitator and asking some questions. But the whole thing about is one of the first words I said, which was feedback, which I think is one of the most critical things. Doing lots of writing about grading or homework or growth mindset, John Hattie's effect sizes come into it, and feedback is one of those major ones. So I love talking about grading, and everyone is very passionate about it, but I really focus on some of the components of the assessments being aligned with the standards and then feedback throughout that process.
I think that's great. I think it's a different approach to a similar kind of issue that a lot of people address, like grading reform, but focusing in on that feedback piece and student empowerment and ownership over their own learning process. And I think that's great. And as a matter of fact, what I wanted to mention too is that I think it's a good tip for classroom teachers as well, for when it comes to like maybe not bringing so much work home with them, not giving themselves so much work to do. I think sometimes providing feedback to students and really getting the students to own and like get into the driver's seat of their own learning takes pressure off the teacher and can actually take potentially hours of work off the teacher too, that they don't feel like they have to do so much in terms of providing the feedback. You know, I think there was a session I just attended a little while ago too that spoke to how important you talked about effect sizes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is part of the visible learning that Hattie talks about too, is like how effective student goal setting is. And for the students themselves to self-reflect based on the feedback they're getting, it's huge. So I wish, you know, I would see more educators, more schools, more districts going that way. Is there work that your district is doing in this area?
We are. We've talked about implementation of standards-based report cards at the elementary level. We're going to revisit it, where we, again, just talk about effective grading practices. But as you bring in new staff and as everyone gains new information, we all have to be able to change and adapt and learn better. And like I said, some of the presentations, I like the way that Dave Schmidto broke it down yesterday, where the first thing you change cannot be a report card. It starts with standards-based teaching and standards-based assessment, and then you can have those conversations. So a big thing that I focus on with problem solving is asking the right question at the right time. You can't jump all the way to the end, because there's a whole lot of components that are going to be the foundation for a lot of that.
Yeah, it's really great stuff. It's food for thought. Makes me think a lot about, again, getting back to that culture piece, like how to get to where you ultimately want to go, but in a calculated way where you're taking steps and not just jumping right in and trying to get to the end goal so quickly. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate everything you shared. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to let the listeners know where they can maybe learn more from you and connect with you in case they want to, you know, have their own conversations or just find anything that you might have based on the conversation that we just had.
Thank you. I'm pretty active on Twitter. It is @Eric_Youngman. That's Eric with a K. I have my own website, ericyoungman.com. It has links to all the blogs that I've written, as well as some free resources and my books. But thank you so much for having me. You asked great questions about some topics I'm very passionate about. And I loved how you brought up Teach Better. This conference has been amazing, awesome educators, and everyone's leaving inspired. So Keep up your good work, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you very much. It was great to meet up in person after being connected for a while, and I just appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast app. If you enjoy the content covered on this show, I want to ask you to do this one thing for me. Please share it. The biggest favor you could ever do for me is to please let others know about what I am doing and how I am helping educators grow their impact as instructional leaders. I hope you can share this podcast with other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. If you're interested in leaving a positive rating and review of this show, links to do so are always in the show notes for every episode. For more information about me or this show, and to access the great content that I share, please visit my website at leaderoflearning.com. That's where you can find my online courses, YouTube channel, blog, how to connect with me on social media, and even ways that you can support the show, like donating or purchasing Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are you are a leader of learning.